Hey guys, welcome back to the Tipsy Ghost. We are your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, not this again.
Okay, I have a funny-ish story for you.
I feel like we thrive off funny-ish.
It's really not funny, but it's interesting. I was watching The Exorcist 3.
Okay.
Okay.
A classic.
Have not seen it.
Obviously, I had not either, but I was trying to find just spooky vids to watch while I'm on vacation right now.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And this one came across Netflix, so naturally I turned it on. And, you know, a couple minutes into the movie, I realized, God, this guy looks so much like my grandpa growing up. Okay. And I'm like, well, this is the craziest thing. So I texted it to my dad and I'm like, this guy, George Scott, looks so much like Grandpa Martin. And he said, well, actually, people used to get him confused for George Scott all the time, and people would come up and ask for autographs and like give him preferential seating and all this.
Really?
So, yes, I had him send me a picture so I could show you guys.
A picture of your grandpa, not George Scott, right?
I have both.
Okay, good, because I don't know who this guy is.
I know. I didn't know him either, but apparently he was a famous actor.
Oh, yeah. I see it. Your grandpa's a little tanner.
Well, in this picture,
in this picture.
But I don't think he was in real life. But
that's impressive.
I know, right?
He has a look-alike.
Doppelgangers.
He found his doppelganger.
Or maybe your grandpa is.
I had that fleeting thought for a moment. Like, what if he really was? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he starred in The Exorcist 3, and I never knew.
Mm.
I'll never know.
It was meant to be.
I have something for you guys as well.
Ooh.
Please enjoy my 3 a.m. notes that I made on my phone.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Somebody have sleep paralysis again?
I had 3 night terrors last night.
Oh my gosh.
3 in one night. So the first, I was not, like, I didn't have sleep paralysis, but when I, like, woke up, I felt, like, this heavy pressure on my chest. Like, I felt like I couldn't sit up, even though I could move my arms and legs. And so I was, like, it felt like something was on my chest. Like, that heavy just feeling. It passed. The second, I did have sleep paralysis and I could not move, and my husband woke up because I was like doing my like trying to make a noise, but I couldn't. And then the third was like, he had woken me up. I came out of it. I rolled over on my side to try to go to sleep because the first two I was on my back, which if you remember from long ago in my story,
yes,
it happens when you're on your back. So I rolled on my side. I was just like, I just need to go to bed. Like a vampire.
Yes, like a vampire. Hands crossed.
And I was like in that almost asleep, you know, moment where you're almost there, but you're not quite there. Mm-hmm. And I heard like this loud, like whispered in my ear, and it like jolted me awake. And I like looked all around my room, and there was nothing there. But
oh my God, that was weird. Exact same thing happened to me. I told you.
Really?
Not recently.
Oh,
but
yes,
when
where
I
you heard your daughter going, "Mommy."
Yes.
I couldn't even make out what it said, but it was just like this like whisper in my ear, and I like sat up straight away and I was like, I'm not asleep. I'm awake, right? I was like, am I?
Oh my gosh. Well, for those listening, I don't know when the Mac and Tier episode comes out, but we did go back.
It's our next episode.
Oh, very good. So maybe that's why.
Yes,
it
maybe
seems to happen after these places.
I also don't know if it's like melatonin.
Oh, here we go.
She's just exhausted. Work's been really rough lately.
I have heard.
I get
sorry.
It.
I have heard from people that melatonin can cause nightmares and night terrors. Mm-hmm. And
it
I
does
take
cause
it,
nightmares for me, but I've never had a night terror with it.
I take it every night that I'm not working. So I take it for 3 to 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
And now I'm wondering, maybe I need to switch it up and take something different. So we'll see. TBD.
I mean, I feel like I regularly get nightmares.
Really?
With melatonin. Mm-hmm. But yet I still take it.
I mean, I've been noticing more and more, and I don't know why. I don't get it every night, but
I don't know. Maybe Barbara came to visit you. Interesting. Well, one of these times, one of us is going to have to talk about doppelgangers, since I think that's a very fascinating story.
That would be a fun story.
Okay. What are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't know. You tell me.
We're going to do a shorter commuter episode, and I'm going to talk to you guys about a spooky lake.
Spooky lake? Is it Lake of the Ozarks?
It is not.
I don't know.
The Great Lakes.
It's one of the Great Lakes.
What is your favorite Great Lake?
I've never been to any of them, so I don't have a favorite.
I haven't either.
Do you have a favorite? Lake Erie. Because it's Erie.
Spooky.
It is not.
I don't know.
Or you like Erie because it's Erie, but it's Superior because it's the best.
Ooh, good job.
Ding, ding, ding. Boyston wins.
Nailed it.
Superior.
Oh, we're going to talk about Lake Superior.
Okay, so speaking of the lake, the Ozarks, do you remember when we were swimming in the lake at night And I was freaked out that there were dead bodies floating around.
Mm-hmm. The hairfish, yes.
The hairfish, yes.
Oh, God.
You thought you felt hair the come elusive up by
hairfish.
You.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, I well, remember.
Well, it turns out my fear is 100% justified.
So now we can never go swim in the lake at night?
At night.
Nope. Never again?
But the bodies not. Are there during the day, too.
But at least I could probably see them.
They can't come out in the daylight.
You can't see more than, like, 1 foot right, into the lake of those It's not crystal clear blue waters, guys.
You're right. You're right. You know what? There's a lot of booze usually involved in swimming at the Lake of the Ozarks. Yeah. So
we'll just have to get you drunk.
It doesn't matter. Yes, exactly.
Like, bodies? What?
Okay. So in order to fully understand the story, we need to talk about some of the basics about Lake Superior.
Water.
Water. It is water. A body of water, if
it
you will.
It is fresh water.
It is the head of the creature that is the Great Lakes.
All of the above.
It's a creature.
Michigan.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
The lakes make up a creature, and that's its head. And Lake Michigan is one of its arms.
I've never looked at the
Michigan
lakes
looks like
that
a
way.
Wiener. That's always what it looks like.
What?
You didn't learn? Okay.
I learned about the Great Lakes in elementary school. I wasn't thinking about wieners in elementary school.
I didn't say wieners. And I'm not surprised by that either.
Well, when you think of lakes, right, yes. You normally think of like a calm body of water that's pretty small that you can like look across and see the other side. Like typically the lakes that we go to,
yes.
they're about like that. Well, mm-hmm. This lake though, it's different. She's huge.
It's far superior.
She's thick. She's superior.
She's Mother Superior.
It is the largest and northernmost of the Great Lakes in North America, the world's largest lake by surface area,
ooh,
and the third largest lake by volume.
She real thick.
She thick.
She boat across.
Yeah, you can't swim across Lake Superior, I'm guessing. I wouldn't try.
I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you need a boat to cross it. Good one, Lindsay. You really showed that lake.
Yep. It's because she's so thick.
Yep. Yep. she thick. You need a boat.
How's your Chardonnay over there?
It is great. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing your birthday Chardonnay.
Oh, you're welcome. Chardonnays. That's what Ryan Chardonnay. Used to call it. Okay. It holds 10% of the world's surface fresh water. So
that seems like
good
a lot.
Memory with
that
the,
is a lot.
The fresh water.
I know my
really
water.
Added to it. Oh my God, I'm impressed by your guys' lake knowledge. I knew nothing. The maximum depth is 222.17 fathoms or 1,333 feet.
What is
I just wanted
that?
To feel like I belonged to
what is the unit
mermaid.
Of measure? I've never heard
apparently
of that.
That's a water thing. Fathoms. Don't you remember in Little Mermaid? Fathoms below.
I honestly never thought about that lyric
I thought
before.
It'd be like a league because of
20,000 leagues
yes.
under the sea.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you they measured it in fathoms.
I still don't know what a fathom
it's
is.
It's hard to fathom that unit of measurement.
Well, that's why I converted it
it's
in
so
my brain.
Out of our league.
Oh my God. The lake jokes. It's shared by Ontario, Canada on the north, and stateside it's surrounded by Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. There's an island in Lake Superior, which is unusual.
Ooh.
It is called Isle Royale, and it's part of Michigan, technically. The lake's actually really, really rough, and there's lots of bad weather and huge waves. So the southern shore of Lake Superior between Grand Marais, I'm probably butchering that, and Michigan and Whitefish Point is known as the graveyard of the Great Lakes because more ships have been lost in this point than any other part of the lake. Underneath the water is basically a graveyard. Yeah, you can see ships, cars, airplanes, and even trains. Also, the lake, just an interesting fact, it has ancient dunes surrounding parts of the lake that were formed during the last ice age.
How did a train get into a lake?
I was going to ask that question. Thank you.
I didn't dive into it, but a car.
They just wrong turn.
I mean, a car I could almost understand because what if there was a ferry or what if somebody just drove off and mm-hmm. it moved? But like a train?
I don't know.
Is there a railroad nearby?
I'm assuming so. There was a train there. Or maybe okay. It was carried across on a freighter.
Okay,
I don't know.
That's true too.
Couldn't tell you exactly because I didn't dive into that part.
Dive in.
Oh, boy. The lake is known for never giving up her dead.
They do.
And I'm going to tell you why. So the first shipwreck I want to talk to you guys about is The steamship Kamloops, the SS Kamloops, if you will, is a small freighter ship built to maneuver through some of the smaller canals. It completed its sea testing, so it was like checked off, ready to go, July 5th, 1924. Unfortunately, it did not live a very long life. On December 4th, 1927, the Kamloops was caught in a blizzard on the lake with 20 to 30 mile an hour winds. The ship became heavily coated in ice. The Kamloops was last seen on December 6th near Isle Royale. An official search began December 12th, but bad weather kept anyone from being able to do a thorough search, so they had to call things off on December 22nd. Sadly, none of the crew was ever seen alive again. Months later, the efforts to search for the missing ship and its crew began in April of 1928. In May of that year, a fisherman discovered the remains of several crew members on Isle Royale. They had washed up ashore. In June, more bodies were discovered, as well as some of the missing ship, but nothing else was found at that time. In December of 1928, a trapper in Ontario found a message in a bottle. Can you believe it? It's a real thing. It was from a woman named Alice Bettridge. She was an assistant stewardess in her early 20s who initially survived the sinking, but sadly died a short time later. The letter said, "I am the last one left alive, freezing and starving to death on Isle Royale, Lake Superior. I just want Mom and Dad to know my fate."
Aw, that's so sad.
Very.
To survive a shipwreck only to die. Starve to death.
By yourself, yeah. So for 50 years... 50 years, the Kamloops was one of the ghost ships of the Great Lakes. But on August 21st, 1977, a group of divers found the wreckage site near the northwest point of Isle Royale. It is now known as Kamloops Point. The wreck was discovered sitting on the lake bottom under more than 260 feet of water. All right, but perhaps the creepiest and arguably the coolest thing that one of the divers found was, that was my input, I think it's the coolest.
was my input.
Because I say that knowing that some people may not think it's cool, but I'm going to throw it out there and say it is. One of the divers found a member of the Kamloops crew floating around in the engine room. So remember, this is 50 years later.
That's fascinating.
He is lovingly referred to as Old Whitey. Okay. And it's because he's in fact very old. And
very white.
Very white. Yes. So.
I have nothing but to not add to
just
that.
White because of his skin color.
No, because of the bloating, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking because his
He has a white, waxy substance around his body. And how can this possibly happen, you might ask?
Whale blubber. How could this possibly happen?
I have an answer for you, and you're kind of close.
I remember that in elementary school, you had to coat your hand in butter and then stick it in an ice bath and see how long it lasted.
What was your that elementary is a school weird life? Thing, but
we were trying to simulate whale blubber.
Did it help?
Yeah, because fat insulates, and so that's how they can go deep down because of their fat.
Let me tell you.
Yes.
Go ahead. It's on the same path here.
We had totally different experiences in elementary school.
I think that's very apparent.
I learned about the books of the Bible. You were learning about whale blubber and coating your hand in butter.
That sounds cool, actually, like a science
experience.
That's
a life lesson. Thank you. If you're ever stranded.
I'm not like saying that's terrible.
Coat yourself in butter.
Yes. That is very cool.
You got to always carry a stick of butter. There we go. The body is preserved because it's basically freezing at the bottom of the lake.
Sure.
And oddly enough, or not oddly enough, dead bodies normally are stored between 30 and 40 degrees. And that is what temperature the lake is at the bottom there.
Noted.
So the decomposition slows down a ton.
Yeah.
So because it's cold, the bodies sink and they stay there. In warmer water, bacteria grows internally. Gases build up in the body, causing it to bloat and float to the top.
Bloat and float?
Bloat and float. Okay. That's exactly right.
But he was trapped in a room, so he couldn't bloat and float to the top.
But he's not the only one.
There's
it's
more
just
bodies.
Just the one I'm showing you. The other thing that happens is something called adipocere, which kind of is what you were talking about. It's also known as corpse wax. So this is when fats break down and react with water. Hydrogenation occurs, which turns liquid fat into semi-solid fat. Okay, following me? Yellowish, white, waxy substance covers the body, hardens, and preserves the body. Kind of like a mummy.
Fascinating.
All of these things combined are the reason why none of the bodies from the many shipwrecks go anywhere. They all stay there. They stay in or near the ship, and the ship becomes their grave.
Wow.
Divers say that there is a body that floats around with them when they go to investigate the SS Kamloops. They also have claimed that old Whitey's ghost appears in different parts of the ship while they're exploring.
Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? Like diving in and of itself terrifies me.
I know.
Being in like an underwater ship and then you see a ghost.
Yeah, or a real body.
Yeah.
That you didn't know was down there.
That's terrifying. No, thank you.
I mean, I think that they thought everything had been gone.
Nope.
Decomposed, but alas.
Do not like that.
The next shipwreck I want... Ooh, that's a word. The next shipwreck I want to tell you about is the SS Edmund Fitzgerald, or the Fitz.
I was going to call it Fitzy. Fitz. Okay, I love it.
You can see Fitzy's much longer.
Yeah, she's real
long. She's also a thick bitch. This is arguably the most famous shipwreck on the lake. And it was called the Titanic of the Great Lakes.
The Titanic, it is tragically.
Well, this one did not end better. No, because during the time, it was the largest ship ever built to travel on the Great Lakes. And unfortunately, now it's known as the largest ship to have sank in Lake Superior.
And I'm just finding all of this fascinating because these are big boats that you would imagine seeing on the ocean. And I'm shocked that they're on a lake.
I know. That's why it originally made me so curious about it, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this lake was that big.
Yes. I mean, these are huge boats.
The ship was used to haul iron ore from the mines in Minnesota to ironworks in Toledo, and other various ports. On November 9th, 1975, the Fitz took its last journey. There was a seasoned and capable crew of 29 people, and unfortunately, a few of them were actually just getting ready to retire, and they decided to go out one last time. The Fitz was trailed by another freighter called the SS Arthur M. Anderson, but the Fitz pulled ahead of the Arthur Anderson, and they eventually lost sight of the Fitz because they were about 16 miles ahead of them. So this is important. On November 10th, the weather worsened, which caused a deviation of their normal path. And I also chose this story because November 10th is my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And sad ending to the Fitz.
Yeah, this is a sad way to celebrate your birthday.
I know. They radioed the captain of the Arthur M. Anderson and said that they had a list or a tilt because of the weather. Winds were up to 55 miles an hour, and swells at that time, or waves, I guess, were about 18 feet high. At 4:10 p.m., they said they had lost their radar and needed navigation. At 5:30 p.m., the captain of the Fitz radioed the Arthur Anderson and said that they were headed towards Whitefish Point. At 7:10 p.m., the storm was raging even worse with 80-mile-an-hour winds and 25 to 35 feet waves. The captain radioed that they were holding their own and remained calm. He never sent any mayday signals or distress signals. 10 minutes later, the Arthur M. Anderson lost the ability to reach the Fitz by radio or detect the ship on the radar. The wreck, though, was not discovered until November 14th, so just a few days later, really. Mm-hmm. And it was discovered by an aircraft equipped to detect magnet anomalies underwater, and they located it near Dead Man's Cove. An underwater crew located the wreck in May of 1976. The ship was approximately 253 feet below the surface. There were a couple of dives that took place over the next few years, but the last dive was in 1994. When they went down, they were able to take pictures of the boat, and then they realized that there were bodies in this boat as well.
Can you imagine just seeing that?
No.
No. Like, diving in and of itself terrifies me.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean. I know this isn't the ocean, but like.
It may as well be.
Underwater. Yeah.
A submarine went down and took new images. It shows that the bow hit the bottom at high speed while the stern was still above water.
Hmm.
A wave came over the bow, dunking it underwater. A second wave came over the bow again, forcing it down. And it took a nosedive to the bottom, broke the ship in two. So there really was no conclusive answer. That is what they think happened. Now, that being said, there's different theories as to what people think may have happened, but that's probably the most realistic one. A man named Frederick Shannon, he was a former police officer and private investigator. He wanted to write a book and make a documentary about the Fitz. He wanted to make a doc.
You want to make a document.
Perfect. During the filming, he found the remains of crew members partly dressed in coveralls and wearing a life jacket lying face up on the lake bottom alongside the ship. Aww. Families were horrified and tried to make it illegal to search the wreck, calling it an official grave site. So they worked with the Canadian government because it was just barely on the Canadian side.
Oh, okay.
And they did declare it an official grave site. So nobody's allowed to search there anymore. Because all 29 people are buried or on the ship or near it.
And this might be a little ignorant, but wouldn't you want the body brought back to you so you could have a burial?
The family doesn't, because there's this like old thought, I guess, with sailors.
Dido, I will go down with my ship.
I will go down with my ship. They would live by the sea, die by the sea.
You mean Celine Dion, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay. So
they want to leave
the family wants to leave their bodies there. Yeah, okay. None of them wanted them brought up. Now, they kind of had these feelings about the Fitz. With the Kamloops, nobody ever spoke up. But again, that was much older. Mm-hmm. I mean, the shipwreck was in 1920, so.
They probably didn't have the technology anyway, even if they wanted to.
Well, and it took them months to find the bodies, too.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that's the Fitz for you. Okay. So there's alarm buoys that are around the site that keeps ships away. If you get too close to it, then it will notify people. And there's an $800,000 fine if you're caught investigating the site.
That's a big fine.
I just thought I'd throw this out there that I got a lot of the information from a YouTube channel called Ask a Mortician. And if you haven't looked into it, you should, because she's awesome. Very informative.
Okay. That's how you learned about the bodies.
Yes, she talked a lot about the corpse wax. So if you want to go check her, she talks a lot about the same stuff, but obviously goes into a little bit more detail about certain things. And then she actually went out on a kayak and went around and looked over some of the shipwrecks. I think they said there's like 290 shipwrecks in Lake Superior. Jeez. And who knows how many bodies, because hardly anybody ever floats out. They all stay at the bottom.
Crazy.
There you go.
Never that is swimming my there.
Spooky lake story for you.
I love it.
I am never swimming in Lake Superior. Thank you.
I don't think I will be. I don't know if people actually do swim up. I don't know. I'm sure they do.
Maybe they just do it like the shoreline.
Yeah. You know, it's funny though, because I didn't really think of lakes as being spooky, but
apparently
turns out they are.
Lakes are spooky.
Yes, especially if you dive down and see old Whitey floating around the engine room.
We'll go.
Hail to the no.
We'll go to Lake Superior when we go to Mackinac Island.
Okay.
We'll go not swim in it, but just go see it.
I feel like that trumps the White Rock Lake. I mean, yes. Gosh.
Yeah.
How many dead bodies in Lake Superior? Nobody knows. There's got to be more than one Lady of the Lake.
There's lots of ladies and men of the lake.
People of the lake.
Ladies and gentlemen of the lake.
There's just people of the lake. And Whitey.
Created a whole compound. Whitey is the people of the
lake.
Whitey is the leader.
He's the leader of the people of the lake.
We can probably take a dive down to see Whitey.
Nope. I will, like, scuba diving is a never, ever, ever.
I don't love scuba diving either, so that's fine.
I can handle snorkeling. That is about it.
I would do, like, a shallow, like, and put it in perspective, a shallower scuba dive. Mm-hmm. Not surface level, but not deep into a crater.
Mm-mm. Absolutely.
Especially
not.
If it was to see body from a century ago.
No.
I know.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. I don't want to become a body myself. No.
You don't want to become a adipocere?
Like, just
corpse wax?
Lindsay, I don't know if you knew this or not, but you are a body.
You know what I mean.
I don't want to become a people of the lake.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Or a people of the ocean. I don't care.
I'm sorry to spring that
on you. The landlocked ocean?
Yeah. No. I had no idea. Thank you for that story.
You're welcome.
I'm just like, my brain is spinning right now.
Good. I'm glad. That's all I got for you.
She's not going to stop thinking about it.
Mm-mm. Good. I'm go home tonight, I'm going to be like, did you know that there's hundreds of bodies in Lake Superior?
That's what I kept saying when I was like, I kept telling Ben, I was like, did you know these bodies look like they're alive still? It's crazy.
I feel like
your mind is blown.
It literally is right now.
You get to like drop some really cool information on people.
I'm disturbed, but also interested.
Yeah.
Story of my life.
Me too. That's why I did it.
That's why I'm here.
Well, if you guys have any other spooky lake, I have actually, like, once I started looking into this, turns out there's a plethora of spooky lakes. Who knew? I was just first and foremost fascinated about how big that damn lake was to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They can have this many shipwrecks and nobody can find them.
Any lake that you can see physically from a satellite, I feel like is something besides a lake.
True.
It should be. It should have a different classification.
I mean, she's
like, it's not an ocean, not a lake.
She's a freshwater ocean.
A lotion.
Land ocean.
Don't like that. A lotion. All I'm going to think about is the that's what I was thinking of. She puts lotion on this
kind of and it's made out of corpse wax.
Where she gets the corpse wax again. I'm so disturbed. Well, thank you so much for ruining lakes for all of us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Happy to help.
You can always find us at thetipsyghost.com, guys, and find our socials from there, or send us an email at thetipsyghost.com.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen to podcasts. We really appreciate it, and it does help.
Yes, it does. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in this week to our commuter episode. We will catch you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.